lesson that I've got this morning is taken from Psalm 34, verse 8. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. This is a verse that we used in our camp this week with our grandchildren. We have a lot of fun with our camp, and we have stories and Bible verses that they memorize. This was their memory verse on the first day of camp this year. Our theme this year that we picked was Dr. Seuss. And I give Karen a lot of credit for the ingenuity of the camp and the themes and the design and the decoration of our home and things. But we decided that Dr. Seuss, the stories would make a fun week. And the story that we used on that day was Green Eggs and Ham. Dr. Seuss is an interesting author and illustrator of children's books that came along at a time when children were having some trouble learning to read, and he designed these books in a way that had very simple words, vocabulary, and he wrote the story and put it in a rhyming form and illustrated with his unique style of illustrations. So in the story about Green Eggs and Ham is a story about Cat in the Hat, who is one of the characters of a number of these different stories, and his friend, who is very annoying, Sam. And he always is known as Sam I Am. In the story, he comes up and he was wanting to give to the Cat in the Hat green eggs and ham. And he's always asking him, do you like green eggs and ham? And he says, no, I do not like green eggs and ham, Sam I Am. And it goes on and on of, well, would you like them over here? Would you like them over there? Would you like them with fox? Would you like them with socks? Would you like them in the trees with bees? You know, he goes on and on. Would you like them any different way? But he says, no, I do not like green eggs and ham. Period. Finally, toward the end of the story, Sam says, well, would you at least try them? And if you will try them, then I'll leave you alone. So the Cat in the Hat agrees that he would take a bite, tries them, and all of a sudden his eyes light up, and he smiles, and he says, I do like them. I do like green eggs and ham. Thank you, Sam, I Am. It's a story about maybe trying things that you don't like, maybe different foods. Sometimes kids are very picky, eating their vegetables, eating foods that their mom tries to give them, and trying to get them to at least try it and learn to like it. The scripture that we thought would be appropriate to that is Psalm 34 and verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. It is a psalm that is teaching us the very same concept to taste and see that the Lord is good. It is speaking about the happiness of those who trust in God, learning to put our faith in God and finding that the Lord is good. Certainly, if there is one thing that the Bible teaches and that Christianity advocates, is that God is good. And it is to point out to us the fact that if you haven't tried it, then you have no right to be critical of it. And so taste and see that the Lord is good. It is speaking then about the test of experience. The test of experience is the ultimate test of seeing for yourself whether it is true or not, whether it is good or not. Put it to the test of experience, and you will find that the Lord is good. That is what David here in the Psalms is pointing out. We find that in the New Testament, a very similar verse to this in 1 Peter chapter 2, where he says, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking, and as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So put it to the test, try it and experience it for yourself before you reject it, before you refuse to see that God is good. And that if you will give it a try in your life, you will find that God is good and that He is worthy of all that has been said about Him. There is no other way, really, of knowing how good God is than experiencing it in your own life. No matter what people say and what others would encourage about it, the only way for you to know is to taste it and see that it is true. The Bible often tells us this in a number of different other verses throughout the Bible and throughout the Psalms. In Psalm 2 and verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust or their faith in Him. Referring to the Son, to Jesus Christ. Blessed are they who put their trust in Him. Psalm 84 and verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in You, whose hope is in You. In Proverbs 16 and verse 20, Solomon said, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. And in Isaiah 30 and verse 18, blessed are all they that wait for Him. Jeremiah 17 and 17, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Psalmist here then is saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in God, that takes shelter in God, who trusts in Him. You will find that the Lord is good. Taste and see. So the best way to teach or learn is by experience. You know, we were playing golf yesterday afternoon with three of my son-in-laws. And talking about that what is a good lesson you can teach me to play golf? And I just said, play. That's the best example. That's the best way to learn to play golf is to get out and play and experience it. And whatever lesson you get, a video lesson or whatever, how much money you spend, it doesn't make up for getting out and playing. The best way to learn is by experience. And the purpose of the Bible is not just to convey instruction to us, but to create a supernatural experience in our lives. To actually experience God and what He is in your life. That is the ultimate test. And taste is the most expressive image for personal experience. It's personal. You know, everyone has a different taste. And some are very picky about what they like. One person may think it tastes great. Another person, it is so insipid. And another person will say, that's disgusting. I don't want to eat that ever again. But it's the same thing. It's different taste to different people. And yet, the psalmist is saying, David is saying very confidently, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that puts his refuge in God. You'll see if you'll try it. Give it a fair try. Give it a fair test. And you will see that the Lord is good. Bible scholars believe that the background of this psalm, as it says in the introduction of it, the happiness of those who trust in God, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. So we find the background of this psalm is in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 21 of 1 Samuel and chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. David was being pursued by King Saul. King Saul was very insanely jealous of David and was pursuing him to kill him. David fled this time into the land of the Philistines, and he thought that he could just kind of blend in with the woodwork, so to speak, and no one would notice him. But when he got into the land of the Philistines, right away people did know who he was. And they remembered that he had fought against the Philistines and was a great warrior. His plan backfired on him, in other words, and David had to pretend that he was an insane person, and he kind of foamed at the mouth and acted like he was out of his mind. And eventually, they sent him back home. And right after that, it said that David escaped, and he went into the cave of Adullam. Cave of Adullam was a huge cave there in the Judean mountains of Israel, out in the wilderness area. And it, according to what the Bible seems to indicate, a huge open cavern. David went in and was staying in this for some time. And a number of other malcontents out of the nation of Israel came and started to band up with David. And it said there were about 400 of these men. Everyone who was, you know, unhappy with the way things in Israel were going, or who had some other kind of a personal issue and couldn't get along with anyone else, they came and joined up with David. Well, it was at this time that David spoke this psalm, or spoke to these men there in the cave. And we see that David, we can picture him speaking to these men and issuing this challenging challenge to them, that David doesn't just want a bunch of men who can't get along with anyone. He wants them to experience the goodness of God in their life. He wants this to have a spiritual purpose if they're going to band with him and be connected with him. He speaks to them in the opening verses, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Take the experience test with God. That is what he is challenging his men. I have prayed to God, and God has heard my prayer, and he has delivered me, and I know that God is good, and I want you to know that God is good. So taste and see that the Lord is good in your own experience and in your own life. Now, to taste God's goodness, what this means is to receive and enjoy it in a heartfelt experience of your own life. We can talk about it, we can hear others talk about it, but to taste God's goodness, it means to receive it and enjoy it, to give it a sincere consideration in your life and to experience it firsthand. And then you will see that God is good. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 5, God encourages us that When it comes to our relationship with God, we experience it in our life. We see the love of God manifested. We see it overflowing, pouring out through our hearts being overflowed. He says in Romans 5 and verse 5, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us." God has poured it out in abundance upon us, His goodness and His love. He wants us to experience that, what it is like to have our sins forgiven and to have this new life that He can give us. To experience and taste God's goodness, it begins with repenting and putting our trust in God and receiving God's forgiveness for our sin. As David himself spoke about in Romans chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8, when he said, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." In order for this to be, we have to believe, we have to repent, we have to be surrendering our life to God in obedience in baptism. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, it said that as he was traveling in the chariot, and Philip came up and joined him in the chariot and preached from this same scripture Jesus to him, and he said, "Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he stopped the chariot and he went down into the water, and they came up out of the water, and he went on his way rejoicing. He experienced what it was to have his sins forgiven. To taste and see that the Lord is good is to experience His goodness in answering our prayers. When we pray to God and we experience that God has answered our own prayers, there's nothing that can take that place. Like he said here in Psalm 34 and verse 6, "The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." So when we experience prayer and seeing that firsthand God does answer prayer in our life, that's what it is to taste and see that the Lord is good. The goodness of God is revealed in the Bible, but we can only experience it when we sincerely open and read and study the Bible and give an earnest effort to knowing what the Bible teaches. As David in the Psalms speaks so lovingly of the Word of God time and time again, as he writes in Psalm 119 in verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And the final verse of that Psalm, 172, or the last section of it, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." The problem, too many Christians today have only experienced the Bible on a visiting basis, not in a personal sense of getting in and loving to read and study God's Word. Only coming on a once a week or twice a week and having a secondhand relationship with the Bible instead of making it a personal thing in your life. Psalm 116 verse 1, he says, "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications." Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him against that day." But one way or the other, our lack of experience is no reason for us to question the reality of the experience to those who have experienced it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There are many who testify to the goodness of God they have experienced in their life. We have no right to question that experience, the reality of it, if we have not had the experience ourselves. Truth is truth, whether you experience it or not. Whether you believe that the world revolves around on its axis or not, it still does. It's not based upon whether you believe in it or not. It's fact. And the same is true with the goodness of God. God has been good. And whether there is anyone in this world who believes in the goodness or not, it's not going to change the fact that God is good. And the earth is full of His goodness. Paul was speaking of the people of his day in Acts chapter 14. And he said, "Nevertheless, speaking of God, He did not leave Himself without witness, in that He did good, gave rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." But we need to experience this goodness of God. Are you willing to take the challenge and experience it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. The blind man in John chapter 9 that Jesus healed, many people were questioning, "Who was this man that told you to go and wash your eyes?" And he said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." He experienced God's power and God's love in his life. So if this experience is not yours, it ought to be, and it can be. Maybe you are a young person that is very carefree in your life, and you see no real purpose for religion. You just want to enjoy your life, but you need to thank God for His goodness. And understand that God has many better gifts than this in store for you after these have been taken away, because these gifts that we now enjoy are temporary and are not eternal. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Maybe on the other hand, you are a person who is sorrowful and lonely and feel that you have no friends to turn to. Well, understand this, that Jesus invites us to come to Him and to take our burdens and lay them upon Him. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And if you are lost in sin and burdened with sin, you are the person that most of all needs to come to Jesus and taste and see that the Lord is good. In Romans chapter 10, he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we understand that earlier in the Roman letter, in the 6th chapter, he clarified the fact. He said, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." But his point is that taste and see that the Lord is good, that He will take away your sins. That he says, "For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It is the call of Christ in the gospel to each one of us to taste and see that the Lord is good. To those who hear it must make a choice. You must make a choice with Christ to either hear or refuse Him. But considering that it is Christ is the one who is inviting, the wise thing to do is to try it, to give it an honest trial. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And once we experience that the Lord is good, then to live it to the finest standard of holy life and godliness, that others may have the opportunity to see the goodness of the Lord in your life being lived out. David said in Psalm 84, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And John says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." True religion deserves our very best commitment, our very best life that we live, so that through earnest study of the Scriptures, as was seen in the Bereans, that they searched the Scriptures daily, whether these were things were so, to experience the love of God in your life and the change of newness of life that God is able to give us, so that we are able to give it a hearty commendation and to others as they look at our lives and experience and see that the Lord is good and what He has done to change my life. That is a powerful testimony when people can see it being lived in your life. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So if it's not your experience, it should be, and it can be, if you are willing to taste and see that the Lord is good, you will find that it is all that it has been told about it is true. And the best way to find out is to try it. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song today. And if you're here and subject to Jesus, need to come to Him, we extend to you that invitation today. And we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.